What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is Nightline.
Tonight, Ian's Wrath. The first look at the catastrophic and devastating path to destruction.
We were hoping it would dodge us. It didn't. It got worse.
Hundreds trapped in their homes.
We floated on a bed all the way up to the ceiling. We only had a foot of air left.
The dramatic rescues and dire warning.
This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history.
And it's not over. Ian regaining strength and taking aim at the Carolinas. Plus,
Salem went back!
Hocus Pocus 2. Nearly 30 years ago,
I put a spell on you.
The now cult classic cast a spell over fans. Now the Sanderson sisters, played by Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, are back for more in a long-awaited and highly anticipated sequel.
And Winnie and her sisters mellowed some?
I still eat children.
Yeah, there's that.
Inspiring a whole new generation of fans. And Lizzo's flute. Twerking and hitting a historic note with an unlikely instrument.
Nightline, we'll be right back.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Hurricane Ian is one of the most powerful storms to ever strike the U.S., cutting a deadly path across Florida. It wiped out neighborhoods and businesses and left millions in the dark, turning streets into rivers and trapping hundreds. ABC's chief meteorologist Ginger Z is in Fort Myers, one of the hardest hit areas.
We spent most of the day here at the Siesta Bay RV park, that boat into the home. There are 900 homes. And almost all of them look like this. Debris everywhere. The flooding, the actual surge, came 3 miles from the open ocean right into here. Homes had everything floating inside, people barely surviving. And one thing that I noticed as we walked through, there is no telltale X on the front, the one that tells you this home has been checked. We saw a welfare check, and now there's crime tape in front of it. So this just tells you the scope of the problem here and how much response has yet to be done.
Our thanks to Ginger. Tonight, we're getting the full scope of Ian's damage. Miles and miles of destruction visible from nearly every angle of the state. Communities littered with debris, entire buildings washed away. Florida's governor described the flooding as a 1-in-500-year event. Tonight, as Hurricane Ian churns up the eastern seaboard, the full extent of the damage now revealed. The storm slamming into the Florida coast is a Category 4 hurricane with 150-mile-per-hour winds and a record-breaking 12-foot storm surge.
Somebody's RV came in our backyard. That's our pool. That's our deck. That was my house. My house is gone.
This time lapse showing how quickly the water inundated Fort Myers. The hurricane destroying houses, wiping out roads, trapping people in floodwaters. At least 9 people have been killed, but the death toll is expected to rise. Hundreds more rescued. Lee County was the hardest hit. The sheriff's office releasing this video showing the devastation. Ginger Z rode out the storm in Fort Myers.
Our ears are popping. We are in the eye wall of Hurricane Ian. I want you to see the surge. The winds have now come on shore. There was a pool below us. It is covered.
Today, residents share their harrowing stories of survival.
We floated on a bed all the way up to the ceiling. We only had a foot of air left.
Hallie B. and her cat, Mahi Mahi, are all that's left after their home was decimated.
Take me right here. This is your home.
It was.
I am the stupidest woman. I'm from Florida. I went through Andrew, Irma. I decided to stay. Did not know it was going to get to be a 4 and a 5.
Are you in shock still?
I probably am. Now that I'm looking at everything and knowing that I don't have a home, mm-hmm. I have a beautiful yellow Mustang, and I put her way up at the hill back there, but I'm sure she's unfortunately destroyed. She was in 2004. Yeah. So I don't have a home, I don't have a car, and I don't have a job because I used to clean these units.
So you lost.
I'm homeless and scared.
In this neighborhood alone,
There are hundreds of homes. You can see from our drone there that each of these took on at least 12 feet of water. They are all total losses. So many people losing their homes, not just in this neighborhood, but if you look at the telestrator that I have that I can draw on here, the water came from way back there, almost 3 miles from the Gulf of Mexico.
President Biden approved a major disaster declaration for the entire state.
That means the federal government will cover 100% of the cost to clear debris and for all the costs the state has to engage in and expend to save lives.
Tonight, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis assuring residents that help is on the way.
We're also bringing more into the region, more ambulances, more food, water, and ice, more generators, bringing in more tarps, bringing in kits for parents of infants and toddlers to give them 10 days worth of support.
One area in need of that help, Sanibel Island, the one road in and out, is destroyed. Many families have not heard from loved ones who rode out the storm.
We don't know where she is, and so I think the biggest concern is we just don't know. We just don't know what happened at this point, and we, you know, there's no way to find out.
Chris Daly hasn't heard from his mother, Mary Ann, and her husband since Tuesday.
She's wonderful. She's my mom, right? So she's happy. She's fun. You know, but she's also a little set in her ways sometimes, I think. You know, and you know, my brother, my sister, and I are just worried sick about her right now.
He saw these Coast Guard photos of Sanibel showing rescues and some buildings still standing. He hopes his mother is safe.
If I had access to a boat on the West Coast, I'd be there.
Many who didn't evacuate say the storm was far more powerful than they could have imagined.
We weren't prepared for quite a storm of this magnitude. We were hoping it would dodge us. It didn't. It got worse.
Joe Orladini and his family hunkering down on the third floor of his home after water levels climbed the two floors below.
And there's a bed. I can see. I mean, there's doors.
Jacob! And in Bonita Springs, a group of Good Samaritans rescuing an elderly man from a flooded vehicle. In Naples, Kimberly Walker telling ABC News about the moments water began to seep into her home.
The water got to be a lot more and a lot more and a lot more, and it was just, it didn't matter what you did. The water started coming into my home, reaching about mid-thigh. I knew I had to get out.
Walker and her dog forced to swim across the street to a neighbor's house.
The center was probably about up to here and running really fast. You can wash your clothes, but I can't replace my dog or my life.
As the storm moved east, Orlando was next in its path. 106 residents of this nursing home had to be rescued when rising floodwaters entered the facility. The South Carolina coast now under a hurricane warning as the storm creeps north. Back in Florida, Chris Daly got good news. He learned his mother, Mary Ann, and her husband, Jerry, are safe. Hopefully the first of many loved ones to reconnect.
And time will tell. I think that hopefully it's not going to be as bad as everyone thinks it's going to be. I think there's going to be a lot of rebuilding that's happening. And I hope anyone who's, you know, looking for a loved one in that area, luck.
We turn now to a group of volunteers hoping to connect other families with their loved ones. ABC's Victor Kendo spent the day with the Cajun Navy.
Tonight, Sanibel Island cut off from the rest of Florida after being hit with what the governor calls a biblical storm surge.
We're standing on what was the causeway into Sanibel. That bridge was the only way in or out, and you can see a huge chunk of it collapsed, got washed away during the storm. Now the only way to get to people who are still on the island, boat or helicopter.
Those rescues now underway on the island, as they are throughout the state. We set out with one group of volunteers.
This neighborhood in Fort Myers is completely flooded. I'm on a boat right now with the Cajun Navy. They got word that three people were trapped inside one of these homes, so we're going to take a look.
Cajun Navy's here for you!
Eva Neocleus was stranded for more than 24 hours.
Here, give me your hand if you...
There we go.
There you
nice go. And easy.
Thank you. You're on.
Following her out, her dog Creamy, and then her mother Aurora, They were hunkered down together.
So the three of you rode out the storm together?
Holding on to the dog on top of the car.
They were standing on top of that car for 3 hours.
3 hours watching the water rise. What was that like?
Scared to death. Scared to death. I thought I was going to die right there. And the car was like wiggling while we're both holding on. And holding the dog in the middle.
Eventually, they were able to make it back inside where they waited for rescue. And finally, back on dry land.
Oh my God.
Aurora's son Michael waiting for them with a big hug.
Byron, that was completely unexpected. The family didn't know that Michael was waiting there. We didn't know that Michael was waiting. I asked him, what was it like to finally see them after everything they'd just been through? His mom jumped in and said, he just told me how much he loved me and he never does that. Byron, great to see that family reunited.
Our thanks to Victor. Ian is moving away from Florida, but it's still a menacing and powerful storm. Here's ABC's Trevor Ault in Jacksonville.
Byron, it looks like the last bands of Ian are finally moving offshore, but it's been a battle here in eastern Florida since well before sunrise. The combination of the heavy rainfall that moved in from central Florida, along with the storm surge brought in along the Atlantic coast, it led to significant flooding in places like St. Augustine. It led to water rescues in Daytona Beach. And while finally Ian is moving offshore, it's now gathering steam in the Atlantic Ocean. It has Georgia and South Carolina in its sights. We could be looking at another day of destruction tomorrow. Byron.
Our thanks to Trevor. Up next, Hocus Pocus 2.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back!
The sequel nearly three decades in the making.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to the Hocus Pocus sequel that fans have waited decades for. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy say the Sanderson sisters are still wicked and wacky. Here's ABC's Deborah Roberts.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back!
When you popped in the teeth, or when it, did it feel like
she's wearing
time?
I've popped in those teeth over the years many, many times.
It's official. The witches are back. The dynamic trio, Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, returning in Hocus Pocus 2.
It's been almost 30 years since the original.
Imagine.
What was that first day like?
Don't we look good 30 years later?
I put a spell on you. In the 29 years since they cast their spell on us all, Hocus Pocus has delighted children and their families.
Oh, come on. It's just a bunch of Hocus Pocus.
The Halloween staple following the Sanderson sisters, Winifred, Sarah, and Mary, as the magical trio ran amok in Salem.
Amok!
The now-beloved original movie wasn't a box office hit. But thanks to cable reruns and streaming, Hocus Pocus conjured up new generations of fans.
This wasn't a runaway hit in the beginning. How shocked were you that it took off?
When it migrated to television, and they played it at Halloween week, or they played it just the night of Halloween, and then they played it the week of Halloween, then they played it 2 weeks before, and then three, and suddenly it was a whole full month, and suddenly Halloween became a thing.
It's been 30 years, so generationally what's happened is this generation has grown up and handed off to their kids, who have then handed it off to friendships. But the other thing that I think is so special and meaningful is that the audience is an incredibly diverse group of people.
So much has changed for the three actresses since shooting the first film. Midler was already a bona fide movie star with two Oscar nominations and hits like 1988's Beaches. Najimy had just co-starred with Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act. And Sarah Jessica Parker hadn't yet become Carrie Bradshaw on Sex and the City.
Your kids weren't even born when you shot the first one. And you weren't even married. Your daughter was...
My daughter was not.
Your daughter was here. Yeah. When did your kids begin watching the film, and do they love it as much as other people?
I think Samia has seen it once and really liked it.
We have to steal their souls.
Whoa, wait, can we talk about this?
So the first time around, the witches seemed to be a little creepier, maybe a little meaner. Have Winnie and her sisters mellowed some?
I still eat children. Yeah, there's that.
My husband said, boy, you were mean. He said that last night. I was so proud of you.
That's some Beatles. Find something, anything. We must fly. Is jumping on the broom again like riding a bike again?
So much fun. Sarah, yeah. That's our favorite part, right?
Yeah, I love it. You know, Kathy had her way. I had my Swiffer, and that lady got the broom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The bond with the Sanderson sisters is so clear, but there also seems to be a clear bond with the three of you.
We've known each other for 40 years.
50 years, let's say.
We've known each other for 60 years.
We've been friends for 78 years.
But who's counting? Okay, 300.
The book is alive!
He woke up?
What was it like stepping on set again, the three of you, 30 years later?
It was so easy for me to talk about. I don't know about you guys, but there was just like there was no time passed. We just got into our characters, got into our drag, and Mary just came to me. There was no thought.
It was as if no time had passed at all. I think the costumes are like, they're like not haunted, but what is it? They're bewitched. Yes. Because as soon as you put it on, you become just, that.
Yeah. It's as if they were sort of standing in the corner waiting.
The film nods to the fact that fans are obsessed with the characters and their costumes and what they wear. What is that like, seeing that kids continue to don these costumes every Halloween?
Even at the premiere,
I could not believe how perfect people of the effort.
And they look great, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I actually didn't know that this was going on until I needed the costume for some kind of a benefit or something. And I called some friends, some costumers, and said, "Where can you help me? I have to put this costume back together." And they said, "Oh, just go online and get it." And I said, "Go online and get it." And I went online, and it was there. And I thought, what in the heck is going on?
I don't know if I told you guys this, but when we wrapped the last one, they said, "Do you want your costume?" And I said, "No," because I had done a few films. I planned on doing more. I was going to keep my costumes. My husband found it at some place where they auctioned it off and secretly bought it and kept it because he thought someday you're going to be glad you have it. And I'm so glad that we have. I have the original costume.
And you still have it.
Fans finally getting the sequel they've been clamoring for after lobbying Najimy for years.
She's the keeper of the flame. For years, people have been in touch with her, giving her, telling her, you have to do another one. She really knows the fans.
There's a lot of them. They're lovely, slightly scary, but lovely people.
and they're adamant, too. They are adamant fans.
Yeah, no. It's so interesting because we all have been lucky enough to do a lot of projects, and you never know which ones are going to stick in that particular way. And that was something we could have never imagined.
Hey, it's the Sanderson sisters.
I bet you're looking for the stage.
Always.
Our thanks to Deborah. Hocus Pocus 2 premieres tomorrow on Disney+. Coming up, Lizzo's flute. The singer hits a historic note with a priceless heirloom. And finally tonight, Lizzo making history with a 200-year-old crystal flute. The singer borrowed the instrument from the Library of Congress after stopping by for a visit. It was made in 1813 for President James Madison's second inauguration.
This crystal is like playing out of a wine glass.
The classically trained flutist delighted the audience. Thank the Library of Congress, telling the crowd. She is a talented artist. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.